Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Take that same Bible and turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Samuel. Today's sermon will take us all the way back to the Old Testament to a familiar passage of Scripture. In the history of faith, God has always looked for a person or persons who's had the right heart. Today, you received your sermon notes and you'll notice the title, God is Looking for the Right Heart. Yes, we are believing God to do it again, to move in the miraculous, to move in the supernatural. We're believing God to help us take new territory and to expand our sphere of influence. But what is it that God is looking for? He is looking for men and women who have the heart to trust Him. But not only the heart to trust Him, the heart to follow Him wheresoever He may lead. He's looking for a group of people who will believe Him for the impossible. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Our passage will come from the 16th chapter, but I want to give you a paraphrase of what is happening in chapter 15. It is in this chapter that we witness the tragic narrative of King Saul, a man chosen by God to lead His people, yet ultimately rejected because of his disobedience. For you see, God had given Saul clear commands, yet Saul chose his way over God's way. This disobedience cost him dearly, leading to God's regret for making Saul king. But in chapter 16, we encounter a stark contrast with the introduction of David, a shepherd boy, overlooked by many, but not overlooked by God. How many are thankful today God does not overlook you? David, who was chosen not for his appearance or stature, but because of his heart, a heart that sought to follow God's commands, a heart that God saw and knew to be true. So these chapters prompt us to reflect on our own heart's condition. It causes us to reflect upon our own obedience to God's word and our understanding of God's choices. It's a reminder that God's ways are not our ways and that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He looks at the heart while man looks so often at the outward appearance. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we begin with verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel." Write this for point one. It's time to move forward. We see that the prophet, the man of God, was mourning. There was an emotional attachment to King Saul. He was grieving that Saul had been rejected. And the Lord said, it's time to stop mourning and to move forward. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. Write this, it is time to stop mourning and start preparing. So many of us are crippled by yesterday's decisions. So many of us are crippled by yesterday's setbacks, by things not working out like we thought they should. We're so crippled by someone who walked out of our life. We're crippled by someone who hurt us, someone who spoke something negative in or toward us. Maybe we've been labeled by others and we're stuck at what happened yesterday. I believe the Lord is speaking directly to us as a church and to individuals here today that it's time to stop mourning and it's time to prepare. It's time to move forward. See, your answer is not in your yesterday. Your answer is for your yes today. God is working and moving on your behalf, and it's time to stop mourning and to start preparing for what is next. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God has a next for you. Samuel was stuck mourning for the past, and God was moving in the present. It was one of those could've, should've, and would've moments. We all have them, right? Would've, could've, should've. The implications of the opening verse in chapter 16 is Samuel had been in the state of mourning for some time, and God was saying, Samuel, it's time to move forward. It's a new day. I'm about to do something new, something fresh, and something out of the box. And church, I believe that this message is for you today. We're highlighting this verse because I want you to know God's about to move in the miraculous. God's about to shift some things for you. God's about to do something new. I wish I had some folk that believed that today. I wish I had some folk that knew God was not finished with them yet. It's time to stop mourning over yesterday's losses and start preparing and planning for today's victories. See, Samuel was so hung up on Saul, the king that God had rejected, that he couldn't see David, the king God had prepared. He was so focused on the past, so focused on Saul, that he could not recognize and see the king that God had prepared. Are we so focused on what we lost? Are we so focused on what happened to me that we cannot see the miracle that is before me? God's got something for you. Open your eyes. Prepare. Get ready. Get the flask of oil ready. Because God's going to show you something great, something powerful, something wonderful. If someone has hurt you, forgive them and move on. If it keeps coming up, keep forgiving them until it loses the power to hurt you anymore. Why spend the only life you'll ever have trying to justify the past when you can move forward into the blessings of God? But pastor, you don't know what they did. Pastor, you don't know. I have a right to feel. Yes, you might have a right to feel the way you do, but do you want to stay stuck or do you want to move into the blessing? Do you want to move into what God has? I wish I could change yesterday, but I can't. But I know one who can redefine it, who can repurpose it and cause something great to come out of it, because he hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's not finished with you. But he's still working, he's still moving, and he's causing his purpose and his plan to be accomplished. Why waste your life on would've, could've, should've? Why waste your life on the past when God wants to move you forward? Now, I don't want to minimize what's happened. I don't want to make it sound like it wasn't hurtful. But hear me, there comes a time when we got to lay it aside, and a time that says, I'm going to look forward to the present. Can you say amen? If you win your point and miss your purpose, what have you gained? If you win your point but miss your purpose, what have you gained? Write this. It was time for Samuel to move on because God had something new. I prophetically declare over your life, God has something new. I prophetically declare over your family, God has something new. He's tired of that conflict. He's tired of that stuff always dominating you. He's going to bring peace and harmony to your home. It's going to take you dying to yourself. It's going to take him dying to himself. God's got something new for your family. Church, I feel it in my bones. God's got something new for your children. God's got something new because he's preparing you for the next generation. You got to believe it. You got to trust it. You got to know that God is in this. Stop mourning. Samuel, get your flask of oil and head to Bethlehem. God's got a place for you to go. God's got something new. I declare over our church, God has something new. I declare over your finances, God's got something new. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, there's a deposit coming. Come on. Get your flask. Fill it with olive oil. Go to Bethlehem. Can I tell you what Bethlehem means? A new season. It represents a new harvest. Bethlehem itself means house, place of bread, house of bread. He's mourning over here in Ramoth, but the provision was over here in Bethlehem. Some of us are stuck over in Ramoth, and God says there's a Bethlehem awaiting you, but you got to turn, you got to get up, and you got to go. Some of us are stuck because we're not willing to turn from, and we're not willing to get up, and we're not willing to move. It's like the old farmer, "Well, move me if you can." It's not about move me if you can. It's about, God, what are you doing? And I want to go. Yes. What are you doing? And I want to be there. God, where are you moving? And I'm going to go there. However, be sure God is looking at your heart. Which brings us to our second point. It is your heart. So he arrives in Bethlehem. The leaders at the city gate are a little nervous. Why have you come? Are you coming in peace? Are you coming in harm? Are we in trouble? Samuel says, no, get ready. We're gonna worship the Lord. God's going to meet us. Tells Jesse to go get his family together and to bring his sons. And the narrative tells us that the oldest passed in front of the prophet, the man of God, but there was no witness. God says, no, that's not him. He looked good. He looked the part. He looked kingly. But God says, nope, he's not the one. The second son came by, the third son, the fourth son, the fifth, sixth. They all came by, and there was no witness in the prophet's spirit. And we pick up in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. For the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the hearts. This is both a statement of fact and an exhortation to godly thinking. Now, we have to admit, you and I are influenced by the outward appearance of people. We often judge a book by its cover, but how many times have we been wrong because we failed to open the book? Maybe the book looked old. Maybe it looked ragged. Maybe it looked like it wasn't in the best shape. Maybe it didn't look very interesting. So what did we do? We ignored it. We might have even mistreated it. We might have even just thrown it and discarded it and failed to open the pages to discover the story that was written there. See, the Lord doesn't see things the way we see them. Our goal as disciples, our goal as followers of God, our goals as followers of Jesus should be to see things the way God sees them. Now, what does the word mean when it says God looks at the heart? Write this. He's looking at inner qualities, the inside, the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God is not deceived by our looks and by the outward. God looks the inner qualities, the character traits. Character still matters. Yeah. Write this. Write the word attitude. He's looking for the right attitude, the motives of the heart. See, Samuel needed to recognize his natural inclination to judge only on outward appearance. And though he was inclined to do that, he didn't have to give in to it. He could seek the Lord. He could seek God's heart and mind when looking at individuals. And church, this is so important for you and I to catch. We don't have to be those who judge people by the outward appearance. We can be those who hear the voice of God, know what God is saying, and see people through the lens of the Lord. Yeah. How much kinder would our communities be if we could see individuals through the eyes of the Lord and the purpose and the plan that he has for them? Good. Down in verse 11 through 13, there's a narrative that takes place as all the sons have passed before Samuel. And then Samuel asks, are these all the sons you have? Well, Jesse replied, well, there's one more, the youngest. He's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Samuel replied, send for him at once. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord, did you hear me? The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. There is still the youngest, but he's in the field, watching the goats, watching the sheep. David did not even have a place at the table. He was counted out even before it started. One could gather and one could assume from this passage he was overlooked by his father and his brothers. For maybe he was thought too insignificant. Maybe he was thought too young or too small. Or maybe he was thought too inexperienced. He was thought too unimpressive. However, it was his heart, not what others were saying about him. See, you may feel like you've been overlooked by others. You may feel like you don't have enough talent, enough giftings. You may feel insignificant. You may feel like you're too small, too inexperienced, unimpressive. But hear me today. If God's decided to favor you and place his hand upon you, who is he that can stop it? If God said, I'm going to bless you, who is he that can hinder that blessing? What matters in your life is the favor of God. What matters in your life is what God says concerning you. And God looked at David and said, that is a man with the heart after me. And so often, church, we find ourselves regulated to the fields, regulated to the obscurity, regulated to situations that we feel like David, too insignificant to be counted in, even considered. But guess what? The Lord saw him. Notice verse 13 of 1 Samuel 16. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. David had a heart in whom the Spirit of God could rest. Right, Spirit of God. What the Lord is looking for is a heart in whom his Spirit can rest upon. God is looking for a heart whom his Spirit can fill, a heart whom his Spirit can anoint, his heart whom his Spirit can come upon and be used mightily. Which brings us to our third thought, our third idea, Let's talk about the field of training. Your field of training. You're in training, whether you realize it or not. You're in training for your next season. You're in training for your next position. You're in training for that next plateau. You're in training for that next breakthrough. You're in training for what God has in store for you tomorrow. You're in training. You say, "Well, no, Pastor. I'm regulated to the backfield." No, sister. You're in training. God is watching you. God's been preparing you. God's getting you ready for that new season. God's getting you ready for something powerful. God's getting you ready. You say, "Well, no, Pastor, you don't understand the hurt when he walked out." God's preparing you. You're in training. God's not finished with you yet. You don't know, Pastor, the hurt that we've experienced with the loss that we've walked through. Hear me. You're in training. God is going to use that to redefine your story and to help those who are hurting. God's going to use you. You have to see yourself in training. Quit seeing just the loss. Quit seeing just the setback. Quit seeing just the hardship, just the trial, just the suffering, the pain. See it as a training field. Let's talk about David's training field for a moment. Verse 11 of chapter 16, Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "Well, they're still the youngest," Jesse replied. Notice, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. David's training ground was watching his father's sheep. David unsuspectedly was being trained and groomed for greater things, for kingdom rule, even while he was a shepherd boy. Even while his father was gathering his older sons and brothers together, and the prophet was in his house and David was in the field. You don't think David knew about it? He was in the field, but guess what? He was in training. God was preparing him. God was getting him ready. What David didn't realize, what David didn't know, is God had a plan. God had a purpose, just like God has a plan and purpose for your life. What the devil meant for harm is not going to destroy you, but it's going to plateau you, going to propel you to something greater. See, the enemy's been fighting so hard against your family, against your spirit, against your soul. But hear me today, God's got greater purposes and plans for you. It was his training ground. His training ground was keeping the sheep, the goats. David was called for this great anointing when he was out keeping the sheep. David simply did his job and was faithful in the small things and what his father told him to do. It's important you're faithful where you're at. You're faithful in the small things. You're faithful in what you're experiencing right now. But Pastor, I feel like I've been labeled to be faithful. I feel like I've been regulated to the pasture. Be faithful. I feel like all I'm doing is tending sheep and a whole lot of goats. There ain't much sheep among them, but it's a bunch of goats. There's a difference between goats and sheep now. Be faithful. Be faithful. Write this. Keeping the sheep was a servant's job. David could have become bitter. "I always get the hand-me-downs. I get the job nobody else wants to do. Why did I have to be born last? Why do I have to be the smallest in stature of all my brothers? Why do I have to be the one that always gets the short end of the stick?" See, the fact that David was out keeping the sheep showed that the family of Jesse was not especially wealthy. Because if they were wealthy, a servant would be keeping the sheep, but they were not affluent enough to have servants. So guess who did it? The youngest, David. But keeping the sheep meant you had time, write this, to think. You had the time to ponder. You had time to meditate. David spent a lot of time looking over the sheep and looking at the glory of God's creation. He began to see some comparatives. He began to see some parallels to the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God to the sheep being provided for. It was in the field that God built in him a heart to sing about his glory in all creation. David, one of the greatest psalmists of all, pens these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You, O Lord, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, but at the same time you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the presence of the Lord." Where did he learn this? In the field. Where did he learn, "The Lord is my rock and my refuge, a very present help in time of trouble"? In the field. See, keeping the sheep took a special heart and special care. God was developing that heart of a shepherd in David, because little did he know he would be anointed king. Keeping the sheep meant you had to write this, trust God in the midst of danger. David had lions and bears and wolves to contend with, and the sheep had to be protected. He couldn't run to his father and tell him a wolf is coming, because guess what? By the time he got back, the wolf would have already done his damage. He couldn't have time to go out and get another shepherd and say, "I need your help," because by the time he'd get back, then the wolf would have done his damage. No, he had to learn to trust in God, his father, that would anoint him and empower him to protect the sheep, just like the Lord protected him, just like the Lord was watching over him. David, with a shepherd's heart, was watching over the sheep and the goat. It's amazing what happens when you're faithful to where God has planted you. It's amazing what happens and what you can learn in the field of training if you'll be faithful to where God has planted you. But hear me, don't just run to the next thing that glitters like gold. Don't run from where God has you, because you may miss what God wants for you. God's preparing you, training you for that new season. Write this: David's years keeping the sheep were not wasted time, they were training time. That storm you've been walking through the last 6 months is not wasted time, it's training time. That dry season you've been going through the last 2 years is not wasted time, it's training time. That setback after setback is not wasted time, it's training time. That delay that's happened to you over and over again is not wasted time, it's training time. See, what you cannot see and what you don't know is God's been working in you, developing the right heart. Because if he gets the right heart, then he can work through you to do the miraculous. If he gets the heart right, then everything else is going to line up. See, what you're walking through is simply a training ground for that next season of advancement, that next season of breakthrough. But you got to be faithful in the time of training. So when the call comes, you'll be ready. "Jesse, is this all the sons you have?" "Well, no, I got one more." Really didn't think that he'd be the one. "Matter of fact, I sent him out to take care of the sheep and the goats." "Well, Jesse, you better go get him." And the moment David walked through those doors, Samuel knew. There was confirmation. He took the flask of oil. And he anointed the next king of Israel. And because he had the heart God was looking for, the Spirit of God rested upon him from that day forward. Can I remind you what qualifies the man, what qualifies the woman is the Spirit of God. You want the Spirit of God, have the heart after God. It's the same cry as Moses cried. We spoke about this last week and the week before. Lord, don't make us move this place if you're not going with us. For what sets us apart from other people, other nations, is the presence of the Lord. I'm here to tell you what sets us apart from other places is the Spirit of God. What sets your giftings apart from any other giftings, what sets your calling apart from any other calling, is the Spirit of God. And there's ever been a time that we need to wait on the presence and the Spirit of God, it is today. If there's ever been a time we need the anointing of God, it's today. If there's ever been a time we need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, it is today. Because the task is great. It's bigger than ourselves. But hear me, God's had us in the training ground. God's had us in the back 40. He's been preparing us, getting the heart right until we can be anointed for that next season. I declare to you, there's an anointing for your next season. Will you believe it? Will you trust God? Will you know that this is your day? Have your heart ready, because you'll never know when the call comes. In the right moment, that right season, the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. In that moment, there are seasons and times with God. Quit looking and mourning over the past. Whether it's your mistakes or whether it's what's happened to you. And I'm not minimizing what happened to you. But what I am saying is if you'll surrender it to the Lord, God can use it to prepare you for what's next. God has a next for you. God has a new season. It was in the field that God was working in the heart of David to be king of Israel. I don't know if David recognized it. I doubt that he did. But it was the training ground, watching the sheep and the goats, that he learned to protect them. He had hours. Days. It was just a mundane, same thing after another. But he'd pick up stones in the brook, use that sling, and just practice. Just practice time and time again. Probably not thinking much of it. Maybe a vulture would come when one of the little small lambs were sickly. They would take that sling and scare off the vultures to protect the sheep till they had time to be healed and healthy. It was there in those lonely hours, day after day, the mundane, the day in, the day out, that he was learning how to be a warrior. He was learning how to be a soldier. He was learning how to be a man after God's own heart. So in the very next chapter, you see that his father says one day, go check on your brothers. They're in the army. They've heard about some kind of skirmish taking place. The Philistines, they got this giant named Goliath. And for about 40 days, he's been coming out taunting. The Israelites they have a battle cry. They come out every day with a battle cry, but there's no action. They're paralyzed with fear. David hurries, taking the lunch to his brothers. He begins to recognize what is happening. He hears what King Saul has promised to the one who would fight Goliath and win. David remembered the lion, the bear. David remembered the lonely nights, the stars at night. Voice of God. David knew how to recognize the voice of God because he heard it in the field. He went to the king and said, King, I'll be the one to go out. David, you're not a soldier. He began to rehearse to the king how the Lord helped him when there was nobody else. How when the lion came, he fought off the lion. When the bear came, he fought off the bear. I think because Saul had no other choice, Saul said, okay. You're the only one that wants to. You can do it. And it's interesting that Saul gave him his armor and David put it on first and David recognized, no. I'm not accustomed to this armor. I can't wear it. Some of you are trying to put on somebody else's armor, somebody else's anointing, somebody else's. Holy Spirit's talking to somebody. Quit trying to be like somebody else. Quit wishing you were somebody else and realize the anointing God's placed in you. David said no. So he took his sling in hand. On the way out to meet this Goliath, he stopped by the brook. I've been by that brook. It's amazing. Didn't look like anything I thought it would. It's just a little brook. Dried up now, but you can see the hill country where Goliath would come out every day and taunt them. The Israelites hiding in the caves. Here's David. He stops and picks up 5 smooth stones. And I love this. Goliath is taunting him. What do you think I am? You send this little boy out, and he's taunting him. But what Goliath didn't realize is David had been in training. See, the lion and the bear was preparing him for the giant. That storm is preparing you for the next season. That setback has been preparing you for that kingdom rule. That dry season you've been walking through is really a training ground to get you ready to face the giant in the next season. You know the story. I love it. Goliath is defying the armies of the living God. And David says, who are you, O Philistine, that you should defy the armies of the living God? You come to me with spirit and in sword, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. He took that sling. He sent it around. He let go of that stone. And suddenly it pierced in the forehead of Goliath, and Goliath fell face first. I believe there are some giant slayers in this place. You've been beaten down. You've been told you can't do it. You've been told you're not qualified. But hear me, God had you in training ground. God's had you in a season of preparation. And today is your day. There's a new season. There's a new season of effectiveness. I believe God is going to bring victory, victory in your life. If you accept that today, you believe it today, step out from where you are, come down front, lift your hands toward heaven.